straight up about the Strasburg comparison, and I didn't hear Derek Shelton say, oh, don't worry, that's not going to happen.
Correct.
I heard him say, we're working against it. This is why we're doing what we're doing now. But there's nothing there that assures me 100% if they're in it in September, they ride these guys out till the end. That's where, to Starkey's questions, that's where the fear comes from, because the organization is saying they're mindful of that and they're aware of that, but no one is saying that it absolutely won't happen.
Well, the thing that gets me when I hear that is they're going to try to take measures to keep these guys fresh or be mindful of it. What if that takes the, what if it's a double whammy, Pony? It takes the form of, we give them an extra day, and in that stead, it's a bullpen game and somebody gets shelled, and then maybe you're three or four games further back than you otherwise would be. And if you're suddenly seven games out at the start of September instead of three, you shut them down. You know, that, well, hey, we're so far back, who's going to make up seven games in a month in this crowded field? Do you know what I mean?
That I can kind of understand.
But
if it happens that way.
But if it happens that way, you'd still be able to go back and say, well, on your way to trying to massage their innings, you ended up creating the situation that gave you the out to shut them down. Hey, we
But if they
close
did
enough.
Those things and they're three games out and they still shut them down because Jared Jones is at 140 innings and he pitched only 125 last year, then everyone's going to go nuts.
So, but if they're seven games out, it gives them legitimate cover.
Yeah.
Man, I would have a hard time not looking back, especially if you could trace to the games where they were going to start those guys and didn't, and see what's the win-loss
record. I get what you're saying, but what is the alternative, to just pitch them every fifth or sixth day and
no,
not
because,
care about the big no, jump in innings?
No, you know I'm somebody that cares about trying to take care of the arms, because they're only a gift to you as long as they are healthy and on these kind of friendly contracts. So you have to try to serve both masters here. But as we have said numerous times about numerous subjects on this show, that's very difficult to do.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's where we find Pirates broadcaster Greg Brown, who's in Cincinnati with the Pirates, getting ready to play the Reds tonight. Greg, your thoughts on what the Pirates have said on the record about shutting down Skeens and Jones?
I have not heard them say they're going to shut. I'm catching this late now. You're saying they're going to shut them down?
No. Like how they're going to handle them the rest of the season as far as innings and managing workloads is concerned.
Yeah, no one has said on the record, hey, if we're in it, don't worry, these guys are going to pitch in September and October.
Oh, well, I mean, we broached this subject again with Ben Cherington on Sunday on his radio show, and he said the same thing. They have given me no or anybody indication that they're going to shut these guys down. I think that's why they did what they did. I thought it was brilliant what they did with Skeens. They alluded to it without coming out and saying it, but it was like the anti-Strasburg move with Skeens by starting him in the minors and being very, very careful with his innings and pitches. I mean, you guys can go back and cite that. I don't have those numbers
sure.
in front of me, but it's obvious how careful they were doing, keeping him to a minimum every time out there, basically once a week for 6 weeks, so that they could allow him to go deep into the season and maybe pitch him, hopefully, knock on wood, into the postseason. The Jared Jones situation, I said from the outset, I'm sure we talked about this, when people wonder about the Pirates, if they care about winning, the fact that Jared Jones started this season in the big leagues, I don't think got enough attention about how enormous that was. They are basically, you know, when you start a guy in the big for the first time in the big leagues, they're essentially taking 1 year free agency away from Jared Jones.
We've given them credit for that. I agree with you on that.
Applaud them. So I'm the exact opposite. I think they're and to show you how I think important these games are. Look at what they did on Saturday when they knew Bednar couldn't pitch.
They threw him an extra inning.
Exactly. 4-2 game. You know if Bednar's healthy, Jones doesn't pitch that seventh inning. No chance. And yet they go back there because they're short in the bullpen. He goes seven. They let Skeens go seven. I mean, they're in it to win it as far as I'm concerned.
But then the next day they sat some of their better hitters again,
Nick
Greg,
Gonzalez.
And pissed people off. So, yes, that is true about the pitchers,
yeah,
but then
the lineup
infuriated people the next day.
Yeah, we talked about that. I still don't get that one. That doesn't make sense.
Well, don't you think that sends a mixed message? Hey, you're sending these pitchers out there for an extra inning trying to win,
no.
But then you punt on a game the next day with your lineup.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they punted the line. The only one that I really would take issue with was Nick Gonzalez. And as I think I said to you, Andrew, last week, the one thing that I think we always have to be careful of is, you know, sometimes these guys, some little minor ache or pain, something crops up, and managers protect these guys, so they're not going to throw them under the bus. Just maybe. I don't know. I'm not saying that that's what happened, but that's always a possibility. When it comes to the other guys, you know, I get for the most part, because it's not like you're resting, you know, Dave Parker or Barry Bonds. Let's face it, this offense has been terrible. So,
Brownie, speaking of the offense being terrible, the owner acknowledged that, I think, to his credit, said what a lot of fans feel, this isn't good enough. At what point is the offensive struggle that they have been on pretty much since the first 2 weeks of the season were in the books enough to warrant a hot seat, to say nothing of termination for Andy Haynes? Like, at what point do actions or lack of production in this case have any consequences for anybody whose job is concerned with hitting?
Well, yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. And those discussions that go on internally, we'll never be privy to. I think you have to take each year differently. Personnel is different. Charrington certainly different than Huntington. Huntington was different than Littlefield. Littlefield was different than Bonifay. The managers are different. I think Hurdle is way different than Shelton. It seemed to me that Hurdle changed coaches more. Shelton seems to be an extremely loyal guy. And with his hitting coaching background, you know, I think he really wants to give Andy Haynes every possible opportunity. And so I don't know when, you know, I think that they were showing signs of life a couple of weeks ago for a good stretch. And
well, they trust their process. I mean, that part,
yeah,
I can say is just overall true. And with the starting pitching, you can understand it. But they're trusting their process with the hitting, Brownie. And I don't know if I'm speaking for a lot of fans. I know I'm speaking for myself. It's frustrating to hear variations on that theme when the process more often than not is just bad. And I can look at the stats, or I can use the eye test, or both to tell me that. They're just not a good offensive team, and I can only hear about hard hit balls for so long.
No, I mean, I'm with you on that. Heck, we mentioned that to Rowdy Tellez a few weeks ago. I mean, when he was in that horrific slump to start the year, somebody mentioned about hard hit balls. He said the same thing. You know, don't give me that. I mean, look, we talked about this before. Look at Luis Arraez, back-to-back batting titles, and I think he's probably in the bottom half of hard hit balls in baseball. I'm with you on that, Chris. It's frustrating, and I do believe that there is got to be real soon. And I mentioned this to Ben on Sunday, and he agreed. You don't want to get buried. It's one thing that you can keep talking about being a game and a half or a half game or within a couple games. Well, you don't want to find yourself a week down the road, all of a sudden you're four or five out. So, you know, I think they feel these frustrations as much as we do, even though I think oftentimes we as fans want, you know, someone to speak publicly, outwardly. Maybe frustrations boiled over with Bob Nutting. Maybe that's as close as we're going to get from somebody within the organization publicly coming out there and raising a fist and saying, you know, I'm tired of it and I'm not going to take it anymore. I mean, it looks like it in terms of Bob Nutting, he feels the same way. So, you know, maybe, and I'm not saying it's Andy Haynes, but something has to happen. Whether I was surprised that G1 Bay was optioned yesterday, for example.
Well, he really can't hit. I mean, he's not really a.
Well, we don't know that. We talked about this before. I'm not saying he's the answer, but Nick Gonzalez wasn't the answer, but he sure as heck sparked the offense for a month. And I don't think he's done with that either, by the way. I think he's still going to be fine. But it can't just be Nick Gonzalez. It can't be just one. It can't be just Brian Reynolds. It's got to be a handful of guys. And I still believe that G1 Bay should be given that opportunity. And I think, you know, that it's likely going to happen soon, I would think. Again, I was surprised he was optioned. But something has to give. Something, you know,
would the owner step in the same way that we think it happened with the Steelers, where the owner said the offensive coordinator has to go? Sorry, Mike.
No, I don't. I mean, maybe. I doubt. I don't know that. I doubt it. I don't know that he would.
Well, maybe it wouldn't be that, Brownie, that he wouldn't do that, but wouldn't his displeasure publicly expressed the way it has been now with their hitting and his acknowledgement be almost, if I were Ben Charrington or Derek Shelton or anybody else who works for Bob Nutting, Hearing him say what he did about the hitting would be a large blinking green light telling me I have the owner's blessing to do something about this, whatever it is I choose to do, basically, whether it's firing somebody, doing anything different, trying to aggressively, you know, get new personnel here, whatever that might be. That would be a green light to me from the owner.
Well, and I would agree with you, Chris, and who's to say that isn't the case? Like I said, we other than
well, if they keep running the same lineups out there and they keep Andy Haynes, it's not going to feel like they're doing anything different.
Well, let's see. When did he make those comments?
Friday.
Okay, we're not even a week into that. What's the line? Have you seen the lineup tonight?
I've not seen it yet. Have you?
I think I saw that. That it's major shakeup, but I see that. I don't think Haynes is in there. I don't believe.
Is Jack Sawinski
in there? I'm not saying
that's
a major shakeup. I don't think Sawinski's in there.
McCutchen, Reynolds, Cruz, Tellez, Olivares, Gonzalez, Triolo, okay. Grandal, Taylor.
Okay. Well, I know I feel the same way about Taylor. He's got to show something too soon, I'm sure, just like a bunch of these guys. Because as Chris just said, with the owner saying what he said publicly, that would seem to indicate, however you want to put it, a green light, certainly frustrations that, you know, we've got to, he said it again. We expect, in so many words, I don't have the direct quote, but it sounded like to me, expecting to win.
Well, he said make the playoffs 100% was this quote.
Okay, yep. That's the goal, to make the playoffs 100%? Well, yep. then that's all that needs to be said. You know, whatever goes on now in that clubhouse and in the office, they're the ones that have to figure that out. If the owner just said our goal is to make the playoffs and Let's go make the playoffs. How are we going to do it?
Do you feel like they're prioritizing winning this year, that this isn't part of a larger plan, like they have this year circled as a year that they have to win?
Well, it feels to me like they from all that I've seen and heard and said and has been said publicly, it seems to me that, and again, going back to what the owner just said, that, yeah, they know it is. I don't think Bob Nutting would have said what he said publicly. I think he just would have been quiet, no comment, maybe not available.
Yep.
But for him to come out there and say that, I don't. You know, what else needs to be said? Our goal is to make the playoffs. The owner said that. When was the last time you heard Bob Nutting say that?
Well, he also said, like, hey, you don't have to wait until the deadline to make these moves, and I'm giving you, quote, broader horizons and alternative resources to do what you need to do, is what he said about Ben. So that's another, like...
Yeah.
Cattle prod to the general
manager.
Yeah,
call it a green light, call whatever you want. Yeah. I mean, it's out there. We don't have to speculate.
Hey, so, let me get you one that's actually not on hitting, Greg, that we get asked about this constantly on social media, and when Falter has a game like that, the bullpen game doesn't work. It still pops up from people. Why do you think the Pirates decided to not sign Trevor Bauer?
I don't know. Why did every team in baseball decide not to sign him? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I've never asked anybody internally, why did you not sign Trevor Bauer? I think Ben was asked that on a show early this year. I think Joe was on it and mentioned it. And I don't know what you'd have to go back and search what he said, but I'm not sure that there was the exact reason behind it. But it seems to me every team in baseball has decided not to sign Trevor Bauer.
Is that a collusionary thing?
I have no idea.
Okay. Do you think he'd help them?
Would he help the Pirates?
Yes.
I don't know that either. I don't know. I mean, I think he struck out 19 batters in Mexico the other day in like eight and a third innings, did I see?
Yes.
He's a different cat now. That's the other thing, too. I guess anybody that, you know...
It's also just frustrating that we see Brules and Santanas and Jeffries and Jose Hernandez is pitching well with the Dodgers and Contreras has done the same thing with the Angels, Greg. That does irritate me. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I don't know if you've asked Ben about that, but why did you let those arms go and I got to watch Justin Brule?
Yeah, I think Joe was on the show the last week and asked that. I think he even mentioned Hernandez or Contreras or both, and I don't exactly know what Ben's answer was, but you know, they make those calls, Andrew. Those people in there, they've got the numbers, the resources that I don't, so they've got their reasons. And And I keep going back to this, as frustrating as it is, it's just as much as frustrating for me as it is you or any fan, believe me. These people that run this organization, they want to win. You don't think Ben Charrington or Derek Shelton or anybody, any hitting coach, assistant hitting coach, analytics person, they want to win more than anybody because their jobs are on the line. So I don't think they're just doing things willy-nilly by letting people go. I think they firmly believe that they have better options internally. They had to take Contreras off the roster. I don't know exactly what the reasoning was, but they need a spot at the big league level. He had to come off the roster. He was DFA'd. Angels pick him up. They make some kind of a minor deal. Same thing, I think, with the Dodgers. So they've got their reasoning. And as frustrating as that can be during tough times, you know, I think for me, I've got to trust it. I've got to trust that they want to win as more than anybody.
Greg, thanks for coming out with us. Enjoy the game in Cincinnati, and let's see if Mitch Keller can turn this thing around tonight. He's been very good lately.
Let's see if tonight maybe the bats just start go to life for like about a 2-week stretch.
Against Hunter Green.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
That would be. Thank you, Greg.
All right, guys. See ya.
Greg Brown brought to you by Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future in Gutter Helmet. Don't overlook your home's gutter system. 888-5-HELMET. All right, you boys are off to the Awaken Open House. That's 5 to 7. Where again?
At the Adam Shops in Cranberry, or in Mars, technically, right off the Cranberry 79 exit. We'll see you there.
Nelly with me from here on out. We're going until 6. We're going to react to what Greg said next, 412-928-9370. If you'd like to join me, text on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. But first, a Donnie headline. All right, you just heard Greg Brown, and I want to open up the phone lines and give you a chance to react to what you heard from him and what you heard from Derek Shelton and some of the clips we played. And I want to have a conversation about Shelton and where the Pirates are going between now and the end of the show. And we have tickets to give away for the best caller. 2 tickets to see Third Eye Blind at Star Lake on July 9th. So that is your incentive. That is your motivation to call in here. Greg's last point to me about how these moves that the Pirates have made that drive us nuts, these mistakes they've made, these potential blunders, okay, the management of some of their arms, they just dump Contreras. They don't get anything back for him. Jose Hernandez is a lefty with good stuff. He's not pitching well here. He's going back and forth between the majors and AAA, but he's better than the tomato cans we've seen the last month out of the Pirates bullpen. And he's now with the Dodgers, the best team in the National League talent-wise, not record-wise, but talent-wise, and he's carved out a niche for himself. And Greg saying back to me, well, these guys want to win. It's not like Derek Shelton doesn't want to win. It's not like Ben Charrington doesn't want to win. It's not like Andy Haynes doesn't want to win. You know, when I and Nelly can relate to this, when I make a bet, I want to win the bet, Nelly. I don't make a bet to lose it. I didn't bet on these two stupid soccer games in studio right now because I wanted to lose $100 today. I bet on them because I wanted to win $100. But you know what? I don't win a lot of my bets. If I did, I'd probably do it for a living. It would be a career. It would be a way of making money on the side, like an investment strategy. It's not any of those things. I have to treat it like a hobby or entertainment because I'm not great at it. I'm not good at it. I try to win everyone. I don't. I'm sure when Malzy gets on the tee box, he wants to birdie every hole. When he played Oakmont, he shot 101. Just because you want to win doesn't mean you're good at it. Just because Derek Shelton wants to win doesn't mean he's a good manager. Just because Ben Charrington wants to win doesn't mean he's a good GM. Of all the things, of all the possible things you could say about Derek Shelton and Ben Charrington, and what they're doing for the Pirates or what they're failing to do, the direction they're taking this team in, etc. The two things that fall on the deafest of ears for me, I mean, know, I usually turn my headphones up all the way here so I can hear you guys loud and clear. The two things that do absolutely nothing for me are when I hear a guy wants to win or that a guy works hard. I could care less about those two things. I could care less. You love it when someone is uber talented and also an ultra hard worker. That's when you get Sidney Crosby and Tom Brady and those types of elites in the game. You also have guys like Ben Roethlisberger. No offense, Ben. Not the hardest worker in the world, but immensely talented. And those guys can win too. So, you know, a desire to win from those guys, I don't really care about that. And the other thing is about, like, where you prioritize winning. There are people out there that want to win so badly, they would take their poor mother and they would look at traffic on the parkway or on 79 or on 28 or on 50, and they would take said mother and throw that mother into traffic, sorry for that morbid thought, if it meant that they were going to win. You sacrifice someone you love or someone you know or someone you care about to win. I don't sense that at all with Derek Shelton and Andy Haynes. If your hitting coach is not doing a good job and you need to sacrifice him, you need to make him the fall guy in order to attempt, not even guarantee, it doesn't do that, but at least try to win, you do it. If you value relationships more and loyalty more, that's fine too. But I don't want to hear that someone is addicted to winning or obsessed with winning or doing everything they can to win if they continue to entrust the keys to their offense to this guy. And look, I tried to stick up for Haynes as long as I could, because it's not like the Pirates have all-stars up and down their lineup. It's not like they went out in free agency and bought a big free agent hitter. It's not like they made a big splash trade. Like, I do understand. I get that. I don't grade Andy Haynes like I would Todd Reirden with the Penguins coaching a power play that consists of Erik Karlsson, Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Brian Rust, Jake Gensel when he was here, you name it. That is an embarrassment of riches. I get that this is not. But my expectations are better than having the 28th OPS in baseball and leading the National League in strikeouts, even with the players that they have. So this is what I get sick of. Instead of telling me that you want to win, show me that you want to win. Make the tough decisions. Make the hard calls. Bench a guy. Demote a guy. DFA a guy. Fire a guy. And I don't see that from Charrington and Shelton right now. I love Greg. He's a Hall of Fame broadcaster for my money. And he says these guys badly want to win. When I hear the manager come on our station and say, let's not blame it on one person, you know, it's really hard to hit in the major leagues this year, that sounds like excuse making to me. You know, Bill Belichick's a horrible quote. He's got six rings. I can't imagine him saying something like that. Well, guys, the reason why our offense is abysmal and stinks is because in football in 2024, it's tough to score touchdowns. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. I told you the best call this segment coming up is going to win tickets to see Third Eye Blind at the Pavilion at Star Lake. If you don't want the tickets, but you just want to talk to me about the Pirates, I would also appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Let's get to a Nelly headline. Thanks for hanging out with me today. Donnie and Mulzi are off to do this big Awaken 180 event. I'm proud of them. Both of those guys lost a lot of weight. And Awaken 180 was the biggest part of that. And so they have an excellent relationship with Awaken, and they are a big sponsor and contributor to the show. So when they had this open house set up tonight, I thought it made sense. We all thought it made sense for them to go be a part of that. And fans can stop by there and learn more about their weight loss program and learn how they can change their lives with Awaken from 5 to 7. Mulsey and Donnie have the information up, I think, on their social media pages, too. Derek Shelton, you hear him every Tuesday on The Fan, and the way he defended Andy Haynes today, even though John Parado, who's covered baseball in Pittsburgh for almost 40 years and said, look, I'm saying this is a guy that has been fired before. It's never easy when you lose your job. It's painful. But I'm coming out and I'm saying the Pirates need to fire this hitting coach. And we've had Jason Mackey come on our airwaves and say it's probably not going to happen. And we just heard Greg Brown say that he doesn't think that the owner would step in and fire the hitting coach the way that we all think Art Rooney stepped in to fire Matt Canada this past season. 412-928-9370 is how you get into the show. Here is Dan in McKeesport. Hello, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, bro? How you doing?
Dan, always good to talk to you.
Yeah. So, you know, you are what your record is, right?
In this case, four games under 500.
Well, I'm not even talking. I'm not even talking about this year. You know, Shelton's been the coach a long time. Nutting's owned the team a long time. Charrington's been the general manager for some time. It is a terrible wins and loss record. You know, you can say, you know, these guys want to win, and I agree with everything you're saying there. You know, I want six-pack abs. But am I out there knocking out sit-ups nonstop trying to accomplish that? No, not really. These guys aren't taking any steps to do anything, and they never have, to show us that they're serious about what they're doing and that this is anything more than just a money-making scheme for the guy on top. And here's the thing with Greg Brown. This dude is wild. He comes on there, and he tells you, and the question is very simple. Will Trevor Bauer, would he help this team win? And he says, I don't know. They're running, whenever he was healthy, Quinn Priester out there. They're running bullpen games twice in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that this guy who's, a couple years removed from winning a Cy Young isn't better than what they already have.
Well,
Come on, man.
A couple things on that. I do think that it is hard to explain now that the criminal charges and the criminal aspects of that have gone away. It still is shocking that no team has signed the guy. The Steelers couldn't wait to sign Cam Sutton back. No one has signed Bauer. It's my understanding that that is more of a baseball decision than it is an ownership decision with the Pirates. That's my understanding, unless things have changed on that. That's the last I heard on that. To defend the owner a little bit, when they were in the mix for the playoffs in 2018, they went out and they traded for Chris Archer. So they do have at least an example of the last time they were in the running for a playoff spot of going out there and doing something big. They made the biggest trade. They traded prospects. They got rid of Glasnow and Meadows, and they went out there and they got Archer. To defend Charrington a little bit, he won a World Series with the Red Sox. He's proven, although not here, that he's capable of being the steward or being the person that is steering the ship for a championship team. There is none of that with Shelton. Yeah, you can find things in the owner's resume since he became the principal owner of the team where they had 3 years of winning baseball and the payroll did go up in a couple of those years. We know what happened afterwards in 2016 that ticked everybody off, and then the McCutcheon and Cole trades. I get all that. But at least you can pick and choose. Okay, at this point, he signed Brian Reynolds and Mitch Keller. You can point to those things with Charrington. Now, it's all in Boston, but hey, they got to the top. He has a ring on his finger. He can say for the rest of his life that he's a world champion. You can't do any of that with Shelton. None of that. Anything with Shelton about him being a good manager or being the right guy to manage this team is complete speculation. It's all subjective. You've nothing objective to go by. He's 100 games under 500. So the only thing positive you can say about him is, well, if he were given a better team, if he were put in a better situation. We have no proof that he's a good manager. None. 412-928-9370. Here is Sean on the fan. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Bernie. When it boils down to it, I think a lot of the anxiousness that comes with Empire fans is the sheer fact that it always takes so long for something to happen, something to be done, and then nothing ever comes about for the majority of the time. I mean, everything anxious-wise goes back to the beginning of the year when the Pirates gave you this look and this formula that we want our starters to go 5-6 innings and we're going to beef up this bullpen that we hope can sustain for 162 games, and that's going to pull us out some victories. And then we all seem to fall into this this subconscious that because the offense was clicking during spring training, that it was going to continue on during the season. But the thing with the Pirates, though, is, and what people are failing to forget, is the trade deadline is still a month away.
Yeah, that's
but
a long time.
It doesn't mean a trade can't be made now, but it's not only a trade that could be made now, it's also moves within the organization to give a different look and give different guys the opportunity,
yep.
Such as a Pagero, such as a Josh Palacios, who are sitting down in AAA. Well, there's 3-4 guys in the lineup that are batting just above or below the Mendoza line. It's things like that that get people so irritated with this organization, because there's so many different routes of change that can be made, but they stick with the status quo. It's kind of like the Steelers in a way. We're not making move after move after move to get better and better. We're trying to just stick where we are and compete and battle and hope that something is going to fall our way in terms of the chips in the basket.
Well, the Steelers did do aggressive things. I mean, they got rid of Kenny Pickett, who they drafted in the first round 2 years ago, and replaced him with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So I think that used to be true about them. It's not anymore. They've adapted. They've evolved. I give Omar Khan credit for that. We don't know if it's going to work, but at least they're trying. At least they're throwing excrement against the wall, and they're seeing if it's going to stick. So I hear you on that. I understand where you're coming from on it. Shelton gave this excuse today about how AAA pitching is so bad, you can't count on or expect guys to come up from the minor leagues and really hit. Because the chasm between the minor leagues and the major leagues is, as he put it, bigger than it's ever been. I just... They have Paul Skeens and they have Mitch Keller pitching tonight. 2/5 of their rotation are elite. And I agree with Sean on this. This would make me question Ben Charrington if I was the owner of the team. They clearly did have a blueprint for how they wanted to win games this year. It was, we think our lineup's going to be better because we'll have internal improvements from Henry Davis and O'Neill Cruz is coming back, and we have young guys that are ready to take another step. Triolo finished last year well. He's a good player. Look at what Hayes did in the last 2 months. Our lineup is getting better because our young guys are ready to step into their prime years, and we spent money in our bullpen. We're going to shorten games. We're going to win games that way, and none of that has worked. They're winning in spite of those things. That would be like if the Steelers' plan was, we've invested so much money on defense. We have Mike Tomlin. We signed Patrick Queen. We have T.J. Watt. We have Cam Hayward, and then they got to win every game 42-39. When you lay out a plan for your boss for how you're going to get results and have success, and it doesn't work, in most lines of work and in most businesses, that gets you in trouble. That puts you on notice. especially when this year was apparently circled as a big year for the Pirates. 412-928-9370. What are your thoughts on Derek Shelton? What is your take on Ben Cherington? Both have talked down the station in the last couple days. Shelton today, your take on the men that are running the Pirates right now. 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy, low of 70 degrees. Is Derek Shelton the issue? Is Cherington the issue? You tell me next. We'll hear more from Shelton talking exclusively on the station. He was asked straight up by Starkey today, does he feel like he's on the hot seat? You will hear that answer coming back. You're listening to the PM team.
How much personal pressure do you feel to win this season, Shelty? Do you feel like your job could be at risk if you don't have a winning record?
I feel pressure every day, and I think I should. What this job's about, it's about winning, and it's about going out and getting better. So, for 5 years, I felt that pressure, and I think anybody that sits in this chair should, and if you don't, then you're in the wrong job.
Derek Shelton right there, 15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters, saying he feels pressure every day to win. Doesn't show up in his lineups. Doesn't seem like there's always a win now. There definitely is not an always a win now approach to what the Pirates are doing. Shelton today on the Fan also said that it's not Andy Haynes' fault. One man isn't to blame for the Pirates' struggles. Doubled down on him as Pirates hitting coach. Also put some of it back on the players. And also tried to point out that around the league, hitting is down, which is true. But within that depressed environment for hitting, you are one of the worst teams at it. If you ranked middle of the pack or better, but you're hitting 240 as a team, I get it. Just because we're used to baseball being played one way and this year it's not, if in the grand scheme of things you're still doing it average or better, I understand that. But they're not. They're one of the worst hitting teams in all of baseball. And that's why there's, at least for me, like, I'm getting fed up with it. My patience and my tolerance is not very high. And I did not go into this season with the biggest expectations for the Pirates because I was not really a big fan of the moves they made in the offseason. They didn't do much and everything was a one-year deal. I didn't think that they had improved their team enough, but I didn't expect Jared Jones to be this good. I didn't know when Paul Skeens was going to be on the team. He's only one guy, but he's incredible. He's, in my opinion, right now, the far and away favorite to win the NL Rookie of the Year. He is a Cy Young candidate, and he should probably start the All-Star game. And you don't know when you're going to have that again. I give the organization credit for developing Jared Jones, for developing Mitch Keller, and for drafting Paul Skeens. Those are not insignificant things. Pitching is a big part of what you do, but it's not everything. And sometimes we see it in order for, and look at football. You have offense, defense, special teams. Look at hockey. You have goaltending, forwards, defense, special teams. Things get broken down into not just overall team performance, but components or aspects of the team. You have, your hitting is holding back your team immeasurably right now. You have to do something to fix that. It doesn't sound like the manager. In one breath, he's saying, yes, I am managing for my job. But then he's trying to, like, stress confidence or faith in his hitting coach. And trying to, I think, defend their overall philosophy and their overall team strategy.